Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you and welcome to Royal Daughters. This is Sister Debbie. Thank you so much for our listeners who are listening from all over the world. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, we come before you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask you to have your will and your way and say that hiding all the way behind the cross, Lord. We thank you for the message you have for today, Father. The word that sticks out to me is arrested development. Interesting theory. I got to look a little bit at Dr. Eric Erickson. I did study him. I think I used him on one of my papers back in school. But it was interesting because I wasn't thinking about talking about arrested development today. I really want to talk about bearing precious seed. So who knows what's going to happen with this particular message. So let's go ahead and just kind of get started here. All right, so I really want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to know, let you know that the Bible says that his thoughts towards you are good and not evil to give you a future and hope. We're talking about God's thoughts in Jeremiah 29:11. And there's another translation that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil to give you a future and a hope." And so we have to realize that God, in his thoughts, he already knows what you're supposed to be like, who you're supposed to, you know, what you're supposed to have, what your plans are, his plans are for the future, how he created you, what he created you to do, how he created you to be, all of that. He's already worked it all out, right? All we got to do is get in line with God's purposes, get alignment with that, and find out what God has said to us and what he's saying to us. Send you the benefits of that, enjoy our life. Because what does the Bible say in John 10:10? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Let me read it again. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Arrested development. What do I mean by that? Interesting term, or I think it's something that has to do with, of course, emotional development. Let's talk a little bit about that as it relates to psychology and the psychological development. I'm actually reading this information. I found it online. I want to talk a little bit about it. So the root of arrested psychological development are from past traumas or disturbances in childhood, adolescence, or teens, family of origin, specifically to problems in the parent-child relationships in each childhood developmental stage. And so they give some examples of that, causes/effect of parents. Neglect, when he talks about traumas or disturbances, another one of the other things that they talk about in reference to that. And then it talks about where does it come from, psychological development is being stuck. So if you feel like you were stuck, well, let me tell you something. God can unstick you. God can really do it. God can really do it. There's another scripture that says, without a vision, people perish. So if you don't have a vision, we have a revelation of what God is saying to you. Maybe the enemy's coming and blinded you. You've got you stuck in your past, you know, your childhood. Somewhere he's got you just, you know, focused on something wrong. Maybe you're, you know, blinded to that. You're not even aware of why you do the things you do. Maybe you're in an identity situation. You're like, I don't even know who I am. I can't answer those questions of who, where, why. I don't even know. But you know what? It's not God's desire that you be blind. It's not God's desire that you not know. You know, it reminds me of another scripture in Psalms 32:8. And for those of you guys that have your Bible, and yes, I'm going to try to slow down. In Psalms 32:8, it says, and I want to just go ahead and pull it up, and I'm going to go ahead and move. All right, so Psalm 32:8, it says, "I will instruct you." So I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye on you. So we need to understand that God is the one who made you. He created you. Genesis 1:27, it says that he created man in his image and in his likeness. Let's read specifically what it does say. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Guess what? God created you in his image, in his likeness. Not in man's image, in his image. So he has a purpose, a plan for you. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make junk. How do I know that? Well, I've got Psalms 139 for proof, all right? So I'm doing a little Bible something here, but hang on with me. Let's quickly go to Psalms 138, and then I'm going to move on a little bit, I hope. So Psalms 139, and we're going to go to the English Standard Version of it, of the Bible, and it says, "Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways." And so it goes on and on. "And say before words on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together." It goes on about how God knew you, how he was with you, how he knitted you together in your mother's womb, how you This is what I'm focused on. 13, for you formed my inward parts. You needed me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. God wants us to know it very well. All of us. And so guess what? You don't have to have an arrested development. Nobody needs to sit around and say, you know what, I'm just arrested development. There's no hope for me. You know what? God has created us not only to live and to survive, but to thrive. That's all of us. It's just a renewal of the mind. Of course, first of all, you have to get saved. Jesus Christ is the power of God, right? The Holy Spirit, by his power, he transforms us and changes us into the very image and likeness of God. It's something that God does. It's not anything that we do. We have to cooperate with the Lord, amen, and yielding him by his Spirit. Get born again, amen. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We give our life to Jesus Christ. He's able to transform us and to conform us into the very image of his Son. God is able to conform us into the very image of his Son, which is what's his desire from the get-go, from the gate. God wants to conform us into the image of his Son, that the people might see his glory and give him glory in heaven. And so God wants us to be beautiful. God wants us to be these representatives of his glory. So don't think, oh, God is against me. He's holding me back. No, God is the one wanting to push you forward for his glory, but in him. He wants us to look like him. He doesn't want us to look like anything else. And so we go through a process of change, a process of transformation, renewing our minds, and that's found in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I am going to try to pull that up, so give me a few minutes. I'm going to grab my Bible here and pull up Romans 12, 1 and 2, because God wants us to go through a transformation. All Christians, all believers, God wants to take us through transformational process because we're not perfect. He created us in the image of his likeness, and we have the Holy Spirit to help us. Can't do it on our own, right? That's the truth. Okay, so bear with me. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I'm going to read 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so God wants us to be able to discern the will of God. And the way we discern the will of God is because we spend time with God. We spend time in prayer and prayer. We spend time in the Word of God. We're around older seasoned godly Christians, and we're able to learn the ways of God. But let me tell you something. Spending time in his Word, the Bible says, study the Word, study to show yourself to prove a workman may not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. And so we need to understand what the Word of God says, who God is, and what he says about us. That's so important. It's so important, so pertinent. Not what people say, not what the world says, not even necessarily what psychologists say, because they don't know everything, right? God knows everything. You want to go to the source. You want to go to the eternal God. You want to go to Elohim. You want to go to the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the Lord of, you know, Lord of lords, the King of kings. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's a mediator. He covers that all ground. And guess what? The book's already been written. All we got to do is find out what the book says and stay in the book. We want to abide and stay connected. That's really important. I do not have a whole lot to say, but I do want to say this. Be encouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing. Know that God is working in you, both to willing to do of his good pleasure. And also, as I was reminded, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, just like you have a perfume, if you're making perfume, you know, say that you are, you know how to make perfume. You gather your flowers, and then you clean them off or whatever you do, and then you put them into hot water, and then you let them sit for a while. And so you're making homemade perfume, right? The scent of the flower is going in the water, right? And so that's what happens. Sometimes we have to sit, you know, not literally in the water, but we don't go home and try this and sit in water, right? Like not hot water, but anyway, you understand the analogy that I'm making. So basically, it's like letting. Sometimes we have to sit. We have to age. You know, sometimes wine has to age, right? And I'm not saying go drink wine or anything like that. I'm not advocating that at all. I'm just simply saying I'm using an analogy again. That when things sometimes it takes a while for God to process us. It takes a while. They always say we save the best till last, right? And so we know that it takes a while for us to become what God wants to do. It's a process. And Esther went through a process. I think it was 12 months, a 12-month process of beauty treatment. And so we have to understand, allow God, me too, I'm talking to me too, let's allow God to work this process in us. Don't let the enemy stop you at any stage and say, well, you know what, this is just the way my daddy was like this, my mama was like this, this is just who I am. All right, I have arrested development, and I'm not going to ever be anything, and that's okay. No, God is not confused. God has a purpose for you. He didn't make you for naught. He made you for a purpose. We have to find out what that purpose is. Amen. So I speak blessings over your life. I speak healing over your life. I speak forward movement over your life. In the name of Jesus, I agree with God. Blessing means empower to prosper. So guess what that is? And that's a forward movement. That's not standing still. God bless mankind. He said, go. He said, be blessed and multiply. That's what he blessed when he made mankind. That's what he said. I think it's in Genesis 1:28. Go read it and check it out. Bless you today. Bless you during this wonderful Christmas season. Know that God loves you. Know that you are the apple of his eye and he has plans for you. God bless you. Take care. And thank you so much for listening. God bless.